may be held for a little while this afternoon. We'll turn again to the 13th chapter of Hebrews, verse 8. The 13th chapter of Hebrews, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. As you know, we made a few poor remarks this morning in respect of this dear man, the Son of God, and a little of his life and of his love and of his compassion. It changes not. The Lord is ever the same unto all of his dear people. This afternoon, as I may be helped, I'll try and look at it from this viewpoint, that is, respecting the Holy Spirit. We said this morning that these three are one: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. One in three, three in one. Well, the work of the Holy Spirit continues. It has been in the past, it will continue, yesterday, today, and forever. The work of the Holy Spirit changes not. And dear friends, I'm sure of this, that there's no way to heaven but by the leading and teaching of the Holy Ghost. What can we know of Jesus? What can we know of the gospel unless the Holy Spirit teaches us, reveals it, to be the interpreter of the depth of those things that are deep in the gospel? Well, the Holy Spirit is never changed. It will continue today and tomorrow at all times down to the end, the Holy Ghost. Jesus said to those disciples of old, the Father will send the Holy Ghost. The Father will send the Holy Spirit. Now that is the work of the Father, that he should send the Holy Spirit unto each that he, the Lord, that Father had chosen from all eternity. Dear friends, every poor sinner now in heaven, glorified spirit, has been dealt with by the third person in the Trinity. And I sincerely hope that each of us have been brought to be and have a knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies have been as a temple of the Holy Ghost, and that it has not changed. The Holy Spirit taught those of old, right back at commencement of the world, and it has continued from generation to generation, right down to our generation, and it will follow to the end of time. The Holy Spirit, the same teaching yesterday, today, and will be forevermore. The teaching of the Spirit. It's wonderful how the Lord teaches his dear children by the same Spirit and the same gospel. Oh, there are some who bring forth a gospel that is not of Christ, not a gospel that will take you to heaven. And the Lord has warned us of that in the Epistle of John. He says, try the spirits to see whether they are of God. And there's a word before that, beloved. I've often looked at it. When the apostle said beloved, he's speaking to those who should know. the difference between error and the truth. Beloved, Jesus, he's warning of them not to receive those who bring not the true gospel. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, will show the way that is to Christ, for we read in the gospel, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then again, Jesus said himself that he is the door of the sheep, to the sheepfold. Who can reveal that to us? Can we gather that in and of ourselves only by the letter of it? Or how we want the power of it, the unction of the Holy One? He is the door. Who reveals the door to us? Who takes us and leads us to the door that is to Christ? Why, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. This is not man's work, it's the work of God. And therefore the Holy Spirit has been and still is at work, and his work is the same: convincing of sin, quickening into spiritual life, given the fear of God, the faith implanted, raising eventually an hope within one's breast. This work is of the Holy Spirit and not of man. You take those dear patriarchs of old, even Abraham and Jacob and those dear men of old, they're all taught by the same Spirit. So were those women whom we read of in the Old Testament, as well as in the New. They're all taught by the same Spirit. It is mentioned in some ways that Christ has a school, and the teacher, shall I say, even the master, we might use that word, the Holy Spirit, to teach. And he teaches each one, each child, each lamb in the fold, each sheep, every one of them he teaches by his Holy Spirit. And we might mention, even respected in the ministry, if we are properly, that is, if we are sent by the Lord, there's been the teaching first to what we shall speak, and the truth to declare. Look at those dear men of old. Some of them, well, some of them we can remember, and others previous to our life, or how they preached the gospel. They're all taught by the same Spirit. There's the same gospel they preached. You see, dear friends, the living soul can't live on that which is carnal. A living soul can't feed on free will. It must be free grace. So the Lord teaches by his Holy Spirit those whom he has sent to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all our hope and our standing is in him, and not in ourselves, not in the creature. Oh, how necessary it is for the Holy Spirit then to anoint those whom the Lord has raised up to preach the gospel and to teach them. Oh, how some of us feel our lack in this, but our eyes are up unto the Lord, that he might teach us and reveal to us the way that leads unto Christ and unto eternal glory. So it's the work then of the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is the same, as I said, in the past and today and will be forever. In the days of our forefathers, in the commencement of the world, it was the same teaching. And those in later years, how they proclaimed the gospel, the doctrines, and that which was given to them to proclaim. It was all under the same tone. It was all the same truth. It all came from the same from the same teacher, which is the third person in the Trinity. So the Holy Spirit. And now we see that in these Gospels. And a sermon, shall I say, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hasn't there been, dear friends, when you've read some of the discourses of Christ in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of John, there's a dovetailing, can I say, with their hearts. Why? Because the teaching of the Spirit in their heart corresponds with the teaching in the Word. And that brings comfort at times to know that we, in some measure, understand what the discourses or the sermons. Now Jesus spake unto those disciples of old, and he said, on one occasion, ye now have sorrow. And they had sorrow in their heart. But he said, I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And they knew this experience. They believed what they heard. Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, is the same yesterday, today, and will be forever, right down to the end of time. All the time there are those being born into this world who are in the covenant of divine grace, will be called, and that's a holy calling, and it's the work of the Holy Spirit right down to the end of time. What does the apostle say in this very epistle of his in Hebrews? Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. So it's the Holy Spirit's work to call a poor sinner. We have that again and again in the Holy Scriptures. One and another has been brought to a concern. Well, it's the work of the Spirit. It's out of the love of Christ and his death. But it's the work which I would desire to dwell upon a little, the work of the Holy Spirit, not only to the quickening but to the teaching and leading. And as you know, here the Lord's people are led, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Can't always see it, cannot always believe it, such is their unbelief, but the Word of God tells us so. Oh, to be said to be one of these unbelievers. Well, the Holy Spirit leads his people along, a little here and a little there, line upon line and precept upon precept. And there's our teaching. And it will deepen. And by the Holy Spirit's working thus, there will be a cry in the heart of these people, that we may be taught how to pray and what to pray for aright. And the Holy Spirit shows it and reveals it to us at times. Isn't there one way, dear friends, to the Father? Who can direct us? Who can reveal that way? The Holy Spirit, not in us. You may have a good man in the pulpit, well educated and so on, but he's blind unless the Holy Spirit has opened the eyes to show him there's but one and one only. Holy Spirit, reveal then. Take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us the way. This quickening operation is a wonderful thing. It's a miracle. We often read of the miracles that the Lord performed when he was here on earth. Now, this is one of the miracles still being performed in our day. And now we would desire to see it more manifest and more called by that heavenly calling in these solemn days. We have it left on record in a number of cases. how the Spirit entered into this one and that one and caused a concern. Let me put it to you, dear friends, and I put it to myself, how have we received an heavenly calling? Are we taught by the Holy Spirit? There are those in the scriptures I've briefly mentioned. Take Ruth. There she was a chosen vessel of mercy down in Moab, dead in sin and shapen in iniquity, but the Holy Spirit had and came into her heart, and there was a great change. Can you go back to the time when the Lord moved your feet, as it were, out of the broad way into the narrow? Can you go back to those times when the heart was changed? When you brought her to begin to love and inquire the way to Zion? And those old paths of sin and those things that you once enjoyed are now laid aside, and you're seeking better things than this poor Persian world can give? Some of you may have an idol in your heart, and it may be to the things that are sinful. And perhaps the work of grace, I trust it is, working in you. And you find it a difficulty. You find great difficulty in your own heart to lay aside those things that you once enjoyed. I well remember the time I've been in it, dear friends. I well remember a time when I was taken up with a certain thing within my teens, and I felt I could not leave it. There are things that please my carnal mind, but the Lord showed to me it was an idol, and the Holy Spirit removed that idol from me and brought me to feel how destitute I was, yet I knew it was the right path because it was the teaching of the Spirit. Well, this Holy Spirit then is the same. You go back through the lives of many of the Lord's dear ones, and you'll find this. They're all taught this, that they're sinners. That's the work of the Spirit. What do we know about this? One thing to say, that we're sinners. Many today, no doubt, would repeat the word, miserable sinners. But friends, are we? We are miserable sinners, but do we know it? Is it the teaching of the Spirit, or is it just the language, what we read from time to time? And know we are sinners because the Word says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But have we been taught it deeply by the Holy Spirit and not by man? Well, if we feel our sins, what else? Mourn over them. Mourn over them. If your sins are such a burden, it's the work of the Spirit. The Spirit is unfolding to you and to me what is in their heart, what is in their hearts by nature. It's no small mercy to have this revealed to us, that we have to say painfully and from experience, art deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And that's the leading and teaching of the Holy Spirit. With some of the Lord's dear people, I've come across them. They fear they're out of the question because there's, have I been deeply taught or taught enough by the Spirit that I am a sinner? Or is it only in the letter of it? Well, I've had to say to some, has it done anything for you? Oh, yes. What? Why, it's caused me to come to the place and beg for mercy. That's the place, dear friends. That's the teaching of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit reveals to us what we are and causes us to bow to thee and come earnestly to the Lord, seeking pardon, forgiveness of our sins. One, as you know, you've often heard it repeated, ready, The poor publican, he says, God, he says, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, he is taught by the Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, then, to take of the things of Jesus. Comes to me of that dear man Simeon of old. Oh, he was by the Spirit. We read he was led by the Spirit up to the temple. And who was there? One in the text. That same babe, Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever. And as you know, that dear man took that dear babe, Jesus, in his arms, satisfied. Have you ever taken Christ in the arms of your faith? If so, dear friends, I'm sure your prayer will be similar to Simeon's of old. Having Christ, we've got everything. What did he say? Respecting that babe. Willing to depart. Yes. Now lettest thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now that's a rib. In this case, he actually saw Christ the babe. But to us today, it's by the Holy Spirit. It's a revealed truth. It's a revealed by the Holy Spirit. And that's where faith comes in. Faith can take of these things and believe. Faith can look and faith can build. Everything, dear friends, is supplied in the will of God and out of his love to poor sinners, to show them the way to heaven and cause them at times to enjoy a few of these things recorded in the gospel. So it's work of the Holy Spirit, and he continues from day by day, yesterday, today, and will be forever. Yes. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit to prepare us for that prepared place. We cannot in and of ourselves, I believe I hinted upon it this morning. It's the work of the Spirit. Can you do without it? Not so very long ago, I was visiting a person brought up under the truth, but I'm afraid departed from it. And I sat by her bedside and I tried to read a little, tried to pray. And I said, you believe in the Lord Jesus, do you not? And she made this remark, never heard a remark like it before. She said, I believe in God. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, but I don't believe in the Lord Jesus. What a solemn place to be. Well, if she believed in the Father, if she believed in the Holy Spirit, where's her Redeemer? Where's the one who saved her soul? It's the work of the Holy Spirit, dear friends. It is. Jesus Christ sends, or the Father sends, the Holy Spirit unto every quickened soul, every redeemed soul, and shows them the way to heaven. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The last sinner born into this world, who's in the covenant of divine grace, will be taught by this same one, the Holy Ghost. And there's no way to heaven without it, without this teaching. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. You say, what is it to be prepared? To know our unworthiness, to know our sin, to know that we are not worthy of his notice, to confess our sins and to seek for mercy, and obtain salvation through Christ and the washing in his precious blood. In other words, to be made weary of things here below and willing to depart and be with Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to prepare. Are you holding this world and the things of it, my friends, grasping in the hand? Or can you hold the things of this life in a loose hand, knowing well that you've got to leave it all? Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, forever. Now, we mentioned this morning, his love was the same. His mercy is the same. His love, his name will endure. It will. The covenant will endure. And all who is in the covenant of Christ. Some of the Lord's people are often very severely tempted at times whether they're in the covenant at all. And then they may have a glimmer of hope, and then perhaps the devil comes along and takes it right away. You wonder, while sometimes a poor sinner is left to wonder if there is a covenant at all made in heaven between Father, Son, and his church by the Spirit. What about, have you ever been tried respecting your name being in heaven? It's recorded that our names are written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. Has the Spirit revealed it? If he has, your name is there. It's there. Can you take of these things, my friends, and by grace believe? Believe what the Word says. And believe that you're in those precious promises. Why, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and day forever, yea, is in his faithfulness. He's given the promise, he'll keep to it. He knows those promises he gave to those dear people of old and to you and I, perhaps 40, 50 years ago and even longer. Though often they seem to be covered up. I said only just recently, somewhere or another, of our faith, you know, it gets very low at times. Our faith, think of a ship, it's got an anchor, and he drops his anchor, he drops it, and he knows he's safe, well anchored. Where's our faith? Is it anchored in Christ? If so, dear friends, it's a safe place. And if so, where's our hope? Why, in Christ. Yes, and it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But sometimes our faith seems to somewhat waver. It is so naturally. When a boat is anchored, as it were, here or there, and there's a rope or chain in the rough weather, it wavers. Do you feel your faith sometimes to waver? My does. But dear friends, it's still anchored. It's still there. Our faith is in Christ. It's there. The devil can't move it. He may tempt us. He may try us. But in Christ, nothing can move it. All in the covenant of divine grace are in Christ. Every one of them. I like that word you've heard me say it before in Romans 8. Now therefore there is no condemnation unto them that are in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ said the same. His mercy endureth forever. His promises. I believe I can say, I don't say it boastfully, I say it with all humility and love, I believe I've had a few promises from God. And I'll tell you when I had them, when I was digging deep waters. It's when we're in those deep waters and deep droughts when the Lord speaks and gives the word a gives us a promise. In those deep waters when the Lord speaks. It was so with those disciples as they was on the sea and the storm arose, and there they was troubled, fearful, terribly fearful. Tossed there, but when Jesus spake, it is the Lord. That's what Peter said, what it was. It is the Lord. Or rather, even Samuel, or the great the high priest, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Well, Jesus spake to those disciples in the midst of the sea, as it roared in various directions and the storm arose and they feared they'd be lost. But he gave a sweet word. It is I, be not afraid. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, dear friends, and those promises will stand. I will never leave thee. What have we read in this afternoon? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That so that we may boldly say, that is by the Spirit's leading and teaching, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. So when the Lord gives the word, and the Holy Spirit seals it, it takes that fear of man out of us. The same yesterday, today, and forever. I couldn't help noticing when we read that psalm this afternoon in that 90th, where it says here, 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. We must not then always look at our text as being in the way that we naturally look upon it, as yesterday, today, and forever. As 1,000 years is as one day in the eyes of Christ. Yet on the other hand, I think we are quite correct in speaking as we have had done, that in yesterday, that is all that has passed, the beginning of the world, until yesterday, and today, and will be forever. Isn't it, dear friends, a comfort to you to realize that this God changes not? Especially as we realize, oh, we change. We spoke a little of his love. What about our love? Does it change? Are we always the same frame of mind? No, it changes. Sometimes we are hot and sometimes we are cold. Sometimes our heart is bubbling up, can I say, in real desires for heavenly blessings, while another time we may be somewhat in the world, worldly minded, taking up things of the world. We are not the same, but Jesus is the same to us, though we are not the same to him. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought, do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? And we change. Well, cannot we say, as we come to the end of our poor discourse this afternoon, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, same with his affections, same with his love, same with his same desires. And he is the same one, this Jesus, on the right hand of the Father, from the day he rose from the dead. Or rather, a little later, when here those disciples saw him ascending into heaven, there to take that wonderful place And there he is, that same God, that same Jesus, yesterday, today, and will be forever. The mediator, they also the redeemer of his people. I'll go a little further respecting this. He's on the right hand of the Father and will be for eternity. But he's there to hear the prayers and the supplications. Will he always have that seat in heaven on the right hand of his Father to hear the prayer? There'll be none left here below. He'll gather all his dear ones, his saints, his children, his sheep, his lambs into the fold, eternal fold, heaven itself. There'll be no prayer then. There'll be none here to pray. That work will be finished. Then he will have the enjoyment of his whole family. I've looked at it sometimes, perhaps in I trust in the right spirit, respecting our families. We as a family met together not long ago, and there's one missing. One missing. One missing. I thought at times, and I begged the Lord many times, that he would not let one be left missing. Not one of my dear ones. You to trade the same necklace. Not one of them should be left out of the covenant. Not one that should be lost. I believe I can say I've wrestled with the Lord night by night often in this matter, that every one of them should be remembered by him now and throughout eternity. Solemn thought, a loved one, a dear one, should be missing in heaven and lie in the pit of destruction for eternity. Oh, may the Lord be pleased to bless our dear children and give us that sweet token that they're all loved them, called by him. All will be found, clothed in those robes of righteousness, and be in Christ forever. As we've another little service, I'll leave this with you. Don't forget, Jesus Christ is the same. He's the same. Though we are often in the dark, though we are cast down, he's the same. Though we feel to be despaired, dismayed, cast out, it may feel, but he's the same. He changes not even for